Welcome to the Teenzone Podcast. I'm Teenzone Junior. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Scene Sounds Podcast. I am your host, Mick Manhattan, joined as always by my partner in crime, the Madman.
That's me. Hi, everyone. It's such a pleasure to have you with us this evening. It's very interesting because this, unlike most of our Tuesday evenings, is coming to you not live.
Yes, if this is a recorded episode. We will be back live next week, of course. But we are, I am in New Jersey at a dear friend, as you just saw, of both of ours, and a fellow scene snob, Lenny, as many of you may know, passed away last Thursday. And, you know, I will be, you know, recording this on Monday, and on Tuesday I will be at his memorial service in, up in New Jersey. So I couldn't be there to do it live. You know, and
no one's really giving you grief, bro. Yeah. I was just playing.
No. I didn't even take it like that. So if you were giving me grief, you're a dick, but no,
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for those of you who don't know, like, Lenny's been like a brother to me for 25 years, very close with Casey too for many years. He hosted the Behind the Box podcast. He was a great human being. Just truly amazing, wonderful guy to always be around. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's met him who didn't like him.
No, absolutely. I mean, you were trying to make it seem like he was a tough sell when I was about to go meet him for the first time. And then I interacted with him. And I think in the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this guy's great. We're going to be best friends forever.
No, I problem. Thought he was going to bust your ball so bad.
Oh no. And we just played with it. It was beautiful because he did. Oh, yeah. But not really. Like, he was very polite about it too. Cause I think because we first met, like, I was in his home. So he was also right in the line of like,
you know,
can't really mess with this guy too much.
You know what, though? He was always that type of friend to everybody. He was always very inviting to people. Mm-hmm. He just gets along with people, but he always, like, had an infectious type of personality that even, like, people who I was always like, oh, this person, you know, something like that, because, you know, me.
mean kind and considerate and thoughtful and patient?
Yeah, true. I mean, yes, that is the case. But
except the last one.
I was always like, you know, he's his personality always brought out the best in others. Like, they always seem to want to be good, fun people to kind of hang out with and do things with. He is missed. It's a heartbreaking loss for sure.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he's, you know, so young, really battling what he battled for a while there. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough that, such a good one's gone so early. So,
yes. Yeah. 100%.
And, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard. Yeah. It's a lot. No, it is hard. He was, you know, one of your best friends, 25 plus years. You know, what do you say to that? You know, what do you say to someone who loses their right hand? You know?
I mean, you're my left hand right now.
Right. I am your sinister side, bro. He was your angel. I'm the devil. Always remember, I was the balance. That's the
problem. No, here you go.
Now you don't have a Lenny.
Now you're my right hand.
You get me back on that sinister side. I won't have any of this.
I do this.
I won't
only
be responsible
because...
for positive things. No.
This is the OCD in me. I have to be on this side because it says Mick and the Madman. And I don't know. It has nothing else to do. It's not status. It's not symbol. It's nothing other than, well, it says Mick and the Madman. And if I'm on the other side, people might get annoyed.
Right, and you have to read right to left. That's the way it's done. It's just how it is. You can't. It's no so other bad. Option.
You know, talking about it with Lenny and left stuff like right. that, and you know, we've been doing this podcasting thing for a long time.
Yeah,
together for a long time. I even posted a picture earlier today
Yeah.
Of us from our old show.
Dude, that was terrible because my hair was worse somehow. And I was wearing that Jack Burton shirt, which is one of my favorite shirts of all time. That Big Trouble in Little China shirt. Still same unfinished tattoo, which is glorious.
I love it. Me too, man. Me too.
Yep. And those
I think it's just our artist.
Plaid shorts.
Dude, I will tell you, for me, like seeing like photos, because I've been collecting photos of Lenny, you know, to send like old school photos. Like we have all, of course, the digital ones on phones and stuff like that
right. For
that amount of time. But to have a friendship that predates cell phones or digital cameras even, and have to go through and, cause you know, I was talking to his wife and like, we were like, you know, kind of like just discussing memories and things like that. Mm-hmm. She was going through old photos and videos. I was like, I gotta go. And this is why, and I want to tell everybody, this is why The Office is a complete and utter disaster, is because I was pulling out all of the boxes to look through for photos. And I didn't have a chance to put them back because just time has been crazy. I'm leaving for New Jersey after we record this.
Yeah, so of course. I mean, you've got at least look, if it's an hour to go through all those photos, you have to add another hour for the ones you find and you start thinking back on the memories of, and then another hour because there's definitely going to be crying in between there where you're not going to be able to even see the damn pictures. So this is a process.
This is where for me, your timing is truly hysterical, because like I would love to say it took like 3 hours to do all that. It was like I started this process like because we had my son's birthday party, which you were at, and Gerard, another scene snob, was at.
Yes.
We got to be in person and talk about Lenny.
That was
and talk
so
about
great, Lenny. Yeah.
And let's talk about that in a few, but I kind of want to stick to this for a sec. You know, but that night I was talking to Kelly, Lenny's wife, and she was like, yeah, I'm going through this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, let me go through and see what I can find. Like, cause it became like a neurotic feeling. Like I just had to, I wanted to see Lenny, you know, throughout the years. And she was sending me stuff too from years ago. He took that I forgot existed. So I found all the photos and I was like, none of these are scanned.
Yeah.
So I pulled out the printer, set it up, and I've been scanning everything since like 1 a.m. Saturday night. Like I was exhausted. I should have been asleep.
Yeah.
But I have not slept. And then Sunday was one of those days where it was like I had a few things I had to do at work and stuff, but it was just bang, 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 you know, kind of going on, trying to get as much of this scanned as possible. And because what I want to do is take all of the physical photos and give them to his son.
Yeah.
So he has
awesome.
Yeah. To hang up. And so, and it's so
like
weird.
A really cool Dear Zachary thing, except the whole, your mom's the woman who killed your father. You don't have to do that part of it.
What is Dear Zachary?
Oh, you never saw this?
No. What is that?
So Dear Zachary is a documentary movie where basically it's a guy who was the best man at dude's wedding as a letter to his son explaining, this is who your dad was. And this is why you don't know your family. You don't know your parents' family. You don't know your dad because your mom fucking killed him. And here's the story of it. Yeah, dude, whoa. It's fucking insane. So Dear Ethan will not be anything like that. Thank
you. No. And like, it's so wonderful to talk to Kelly and like, you know,
yeah,
she, of course she always has and, you know, wants Ethan to know who his father was. And,
oh yeah.
And a lot of these photos were from just trips we took. And like, it is so insane to me to look at a lot of these that were taken on disposable camera for the most part, you know, cause Lenny was always a proponent of let's get disposable cameras and document everything.
Of course he
was. Yeah, all right. And like
I love it.
And even in high school, it was like we always carried him around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just snapping photos and like, you know, it, just to see the faces kind of go through as I'm going through these pictures and I'm like, oh my God, man, I remember that. I haven't thought about this in 20 years. You know, and stuff like that. And it just takes you back and it's just like a smack in the face. And like just so I want to take all those photos give them, you know, I've scanned them all, so I have them, and I want to give them to Ethan so that way he's got physical copies to hang up of his dad. And what I was thinking about doing was also recording something for him, telling stories about his dad, you know, from you know, what I remember.
That'd be really cool. I mean, pull stories from like coworkers, or, you know, find all kinds of people, everybody who interacted with Lenny throughout his life, and, you know, have them record a story.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. I didn't, like, I was just thinking about along the lines of like kind of like talking, you know, just talking to a camera, almost confessional booth style.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you're an egomaniac and it's got to be about your face. I get it.
No, I can record it. You know, I thought like doing something like that might be.
That's a great idea, man. What a good connection. What a good way to get him to kind of have a better grasp of his father, you know, because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough going on without him. And, you know, especially Lenny. He was such a fantastic dude, such a wonderful father. So,
yeah, because I mean, Ethan being 7 years old, like, and for the past 4 years, Lenny having the cancer, it's a different side he grew up with.
Yeah.
And I want him to know who his father was and the adventures like his father would go on. And, you know, we have the episodes from BTB where we talk about stuff. So you can kind of see his father from that perspective, but like there's just the fun stuff. Cause that was the thing about Lenny. He was never a guy that you thought like, oh, this guy, we're going to go out and have an adventure. We're going to get into trouble. You know, no, it was never, we might've gotten into some trouble, but always like that fun trouble. The trouble that like you're like
where no one gets hurt. It's the trouble where you're not hurting feelings. Could've. You're not hurting. I mean, you could. Yes, there's potential, but as long as everyone was alive and didn't break anything, usually you're okay.
Yeah,
that so was like, the safe trouble.
When we did ghost hunting and went into abandoned and like asylums and
well, at that point, you're just asking for it. Like it really doesn't matter. No matter what, like once you decide to trespass, it's all bets are off.
You really have
broken a law, and any law that's broken beyond that, you're kind of screwed on.
And I do not advocate for that. Anybody watching,
seriously, don't do it.
No, we were young, we were dumb, we were stupid.
Unless
and we
you're, you know, urban exploring, and you're doing whatever you're doing. You know, I mean, live your truth. Oh. I'm not here to tell anyone what they're supposed to or not supposed to do. Freedom, do what you want.
That's and adventures are like, and if that's the biggest thing I can take away, and you and I are like this too, because our friendship is very similar. I think like that's why we all always got along well, like even Gerard in the mix and others along the way. It's just we're just about enjoying life and having fun.
Yeah, find the next adventure. Go headlong into it. Is it going to hurt? Is anyone going to die? No. Fine. Let's keep going. Is this illegal? Maybe.
We don't do that much anymore.
Is this a misdemeanor? All right. I think I can get away with a fine. Let's go do that. That's fine.
I think the closest we've come to that by now is like going to Bunny Man's Bridge on a rainy night.
That was the absolute worst. That's
those adventures of like skirting the line of the law, like the Duke boys. Like, no, we don't do that anymore.
We don't play the moonshine running anymore in the mountains.
And even then it was like, go to the devil's tree. You know, with Lynn, it was like, and yeah, we almost got killed a few times, but you know, like just those, but it was just those times where you're just kind of like, and you and I have had many of these, and I'm very fortunate about it, like, because the circle of friends that I have, people don't understand that sometimes when you talk to them about it, and they're like, yo, you do not understand the loyalty within the circle. And it's not just loyalty to me or me being loyal to somebody. It's like, we all are just cause, and it's not a feeling of you have to be, it's a feeling of you want to be.
Right.
You know, and because we know the adventure is going to continue.
Yeah. Cause there's always going to be something fun. One of us is inevitably going to bring something outrageous up and whoever seconds it, here we go.
Yeah, I am very.
That was one of the best parts about Lenny was he was a fantastic second.
Oh my God, he
did everything, bro.
He. I tell everybody, and this is no exaggeration, the best hype man, wingman, I have ever seen in action. This guy, you're going out, you're talking to girls. He's got your six, man. Like, he is there, and like, he'll talk to the woman, or, you know, I'm not good enough.
Hey, well, first of all, you stop that.
No, I mean, I'm not good enough. In terms of a wingman, like, I want to try and help my friends.
No, you're a terrible wingman.
I'm a terrible wingman.
I love you from the bottom of my heart, bro.
I just overshadow because I'm a building.
Yes. Or the worst is when you're like, hold on, I have to be bigger. And then you try to bring in a bigger personality that's like, hey, do you like funny guys? My friend's funny. Like, you take me and like hoist me by the back of my face.
Oh my
and
God. Just
push me like a puppet into the people. Oh, it's like,
and that's terrible.
No, I never. You try so hard though. That's the thing. Your heart's in the right place, bro.
It's like a bear. You're just like, it's like hanging out with a bear and you're trying to hit on a woman. And the woman's like either scared of the giant bear next to you. That's like, he's great.
Or she's excited. Like, will he balance on ball and chase me?
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like, he's a bear. You're hanging out with a bear right now.
Yeah, but then no one sees me as, you know, oh, who was the guy who hung out with the bear? BJ. No one sees me as BJ because I can't grow a beard. So I'm out.
It's just like, so yeah, I agree wholeheartedly that I am a terrible wingman. But like with Lenny, he never needed a wingman. Yeah. I was always a good, like, I would always back him up anytime he needed something like that. Like somebody who's messing with him, right? Like, I got your back, dude. But I never, he met his wife in 20 years ago. You know, they started dating in 2001, I think, in the beginning of 2001.
Oh, wow.
So it was just like, you know, they were together since. So like, it wasn't like he was out, like, needed a wingman to meet girls. But I was single. So when he would go out, he just had a way of talking, a way of doing this, or like way of hyping you up that just, it was almost mystical. In a weird way. And he always made you look great.
Oh, no, always. I had Lenny several times pay me compliments when I was down on myself. And he and I were very big on shit-talking each other, which was glorious. It's one of my favorite things to do because he was so masterful at it. But he did it with that smile and that sort of, like, impish grin and that little twinkle in his eye. And it's like, oh, man, he's good. So when he would build you up, you always felt very, like, wow, yeah, I do. You're damn right I'm great. I am great. And he would do it in like three lines. He was just a wonderful human. So
he really was.
And pleasure to have gotten to know him and to have worked with him and have hung out with him. So,
and he's missed, man. And always will be. Too young, 39 years old. Fuck cancer, man. Fuck cancer. Stupid ass. I will say this, you know, it's kind of going through. You know how, like, when you have a car and you get rid of that car,
yeah,
or the car dies or whatever else, you see that car everywhere. You never saw it on the road, but now you see it everywhere.
Or when you first get one, you first get a car, and then all of a sudden it's the only thing you fucking see everywhere. It's like, yeah, so I'm with you.
So for me, you know, since Lenny's passing, I have been, I don't know whether it's like just a weird magic to it or something. It just seems, I don't know how to put it, but I've been seeing things. And now when I say seeing things, I mean like movies will pop up that remind me of specifically of Lenny, or scenes or songs or memories are popping up on like Facebook or something that's just like so close to what that is. And it comes at that time. It's like he passed away on Thursday, and like the 1 year anniversary of watching Wrath of Khan with Tommy was Sunday night. And I remember watching it with him and saying like, oh, you know, it's Uncle Lenny's favorite movie. He showed this to me because I always, whenever I show the kids a movie or a show Mary or friends or whatever, like we're sitting down for a movie that means something to me, there's always a story to it. And I always felt like that was important, you know, and I know you know this, you know, but for everybody watching or listening, like, I always feel like if you have a... Are you muted? Am I muted?
I was
muted. Yes. All right, good. I didn't screw it up. All right, you started talking, and I'm like...
Nope, you keep going, buddy.
No, but for me, like, you know, so I feel like a story should go with it. And explain like how I came about this movie and what it meant to me and stuff like that. And as soon as he passed the next day, I thought, I'm going to well up, but don't worry. I'm still with it. I thought about the scene, from Wrath of Khan, because we always said, we even like, I got years ago, like some pendants that were the Star Trek thing, Star Trek insignia, or emblem or whatever it is, and it, on it it says I am and always shall be your friend,
have been and always
I have been, and you know what I mean. You know it better than anybody, but you know, and he had half and I had half, and like, you know, when he got cancer, I thought it was important to give that to him, you know, to have that. So and it meant a lot to him, you know, to have that. Because we always said that, because I watched that movie because of him. His recommendation of like, dude, you don't watch Star Trek. You need to see Wrath of Khan. And he went into the whole thing. I remember driving home from camping, and like for 2 hours, it was him and Derek, Unlimited Artist, if everybody knows. He's been on the show before too. Another snob family member. They were both just talking about Wrath of Khan and talking about Space Seed from the original series and stuff like that. And I was like, I need to watch this. That sounds amazing, actually. Like, it just sounds perfect. Because I had seen motion picture and I had watched shows and stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to save that for Star Trek week. Because
that's coming up very soon.
Very soon, actually.
Just a heads up.
There will be an announcement going out about stuff soon. And I wanted to talk to you actually after we're done recording tonight, but about some stuff, because I had some ideas around by it. But with that, so I watched it, and you know, I watched Space Seed, I watched that because I was like, this is a story. I have to watch this story. I have to know the whole thing in and out, because that's me when I watch a movie. I was like, I got to read the IMDb trivia. I've got to read the Wikipedia. I got to, you know, all this stuff. I need to know the knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, stupid Joe Bob making that happen.
I mean, I don't know who you think you're talking to. I'm the guy who has the freaking blueprints for each individual Enterprise model. So, I understand having to know everything about everything.
Well, I see, I'm not talking to you, though. I'm talking to both of our listeners.
Which we can't see right now. So there's no telling if are or not. This moment, but if there are, how freaked out are you guys right now?
It'd be so funny if there's like four people listening and they're all like, I'm one of them.
No,
it's like, you are one of them.
Congratulations. Whoever you are right now, I heart you. Thank you for listening at this moment. Appreciate
it. I couldn't said it better myself. But yeah, so I got into it, and I was like, and that became our movie. We watched it a bunch of times together. The end scene, not just with Kirk and Spock, but also the funeral, and where Kirk, you know, gets missy and breaks up a little bit.
Are you gonna fucking say those words at his fucking funeral? Are you seriously gonna say, of all the souls I've met in my journey, his was the most human?
I thought about that, but no. Actually, we had an agreement. And I shit you not, this is a true and honest agreement, and I will be doing it because I will be honoring him. And I told his wife, I was like, I don't know what it is. Since this movie came out, we both agreed like we would do this. Whoever passes away first, we'd do it. And it was 2002, Mr. Deeds came out.
Oh, Lord.
And the poem he says about his uncle, where he ends and he goes, I'll bring the bees. We both said, we were like, because that movie always made us laugh. That was one of our movies that was just like always cracked us up. So we both agreed, like, oh, dude, whoever goes first, the other one's got to say this. Now, of course, when we said that to each other, we made that agreement. We were both super old in our minds, you know, and
Well, yeah, of course. That's all right, buddy.
So, sorry, excuse me for a second.
Nothing to be sorry about, buddy.
It was never let go. That wasn't something that was like, it was set in 2002, and now I just remember it and I'm going to do it. We always talked about it. Sometimes we would send texts to each other and be like, remember, I'll bring the BS. You know, and like, it was something that was ingrained in us. And like, you know, I thought about, you know, his wife is very gracious to invite me to say something. I'm so glad she's giving the eulogy because she was, I cannot say enough about the amazing thing she did and how much love she showed him.
Yeah.
Especially all throughout the 20 years, but especially the last 4 years of the cancer and what she did to take care of him and be there for him and be the rock that held everything together. And, you know, it's just as him being like a brother to me, and you know this, you're one of them too. Like, you know, you it's family, and I know it's, and people make fun of the Vin Diesel thing, and so like, you know,
don't say people, you make fun.
No, family thing.
Heavy. No, I didn't. You hammered on, oh, it's so much stuff after one day. I'm tired of all the memes.
I was tired of the memes. I was tired of the memes, not the fact that he was saying family. In fact, I got it.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure you were pissed off at Vin Diesel at one point.
In the movie, it is annoying. In the movie, it is a little bit annoying because he does, like, it got to, like, number six, and it was just like, dude, you, not everybody you meet is family, dude. Calm it's down. Family. Oh my God. It's like, and a building's falling on you. Family's not going to protect you. Just saying family is not going to protect you.
Well, you can't say it. You have to scream it. You have to get deep with that.
Family.
Family.
Oh my God. And everybody becomes family, except for Charlize Theron. This poor woman, like, just wants to be a member of the family. I think, like, if in the next one, because she's been the bad guy for like the past like three, you have to just kind of be like, do you just want to be a member of the family? And then only she just quits being a bad
only
guy.
Only if there's a beat in and Michelle Rodriguez just like gets a good swift kick to the face.
Oh my God.
Give her just like a boom.
Is it like street gang rules?
Oh, where 100%.
You got to take the beating to get into the family.
It's fam.
Oh my God. I will.
But, you know, you didn't have your car.
See, when Paul Walker died, and I realized how close everybody was on that set, and they really pushed the family after that, I got it. I was like, I get it. I was like, you guys you came back together, and it was a family, and you've been doing this for so many years,
over a decade.
And you guys are close. Like, everybody but The Rock is close. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
And that's not even The Rock's fault. That's Vin Diesel's fault. You know, that's the other shitty thing.
There's a lot of talk that it's not just Vin Diesel's fault.
Like, yeah, no, I started to hear... A few more things have started to come out recently that I... At least that I have hit my radar, that I've noticed are Rock-oriented. But I don't see him as being bad. It just seems like he's a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm in on my project. I'm on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that was kind of what it was. Like, The Rock handles himself a certain way. Vin Diesel, who has been leading the charge with these movies, was like, but we do it this way here. They clashed. They're both alpha males. It is what it is. And it just didn't work. And, you know, now they have John Cena, so we can do
it. Isn't Jason Statham, aren't they still doing the Jason Statham Rock movies?
Well, Jason Statham was in the most recent Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, but then before that, before Fast 9, wasn't there another one, the Hobbs and Shaw?
Hobbs and Shaw, yeah. Well, they're still going to do that because that was like wildly successful.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, they just do another Hobbs and Shaw movie and just throw in all the other popular characters and say, fuck it, see you later, Vin. We'll see you for Furious 10, you know, in 10 years.
Well, what people don't realize, okay, so now we're going on, we'll get back to everything, but now I have to explain this because I want this.
Tangents.
In the Fast Furious universe. So they added Ryan Reynolds as a CIA agent in Hobbs and Shaw. And Ryan Reynolds in anything is amazing and gets along with everybody.
Always.
But what people don't realize is the bad guy in that was like a, almost like, you know, Dr. Claw or whatever from Inspector Gadget. He was like just a voice on a screen.
I'll get you, Gadget.
Sort of, yeah. What they don't realize is that was Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is the main bad guy in the Hobbs and Shaw movies. But they haven't revealed it yet. They've revealed it through tidbits of Ryan Reynolds did the voice.
So you just spoiled my watch of Fast and the Furious 7 up until now? 9?
No, just Hobbs and Shaw.
Okay.
Just Hobbs and Shaw. Because it was, it's still Cypher was the is the bad guy in the Fast movies, Fast Furious movies.
Okay.
Which we know, Charlize Theron. What I want them to do is make it so that Ryan Reynolds' character has been the main bad guy throughout on all of them from the beginning. And it brings everybody back together because now then you got The Rock, you got Vin Diesel, you got John Cena.
First of all, I feel like there's an age thing there that wouldn't work out right.
What?
Well, because Ryan Reynolds would have been, what, 20 in 2001?
Yeah, you can play it. You can say, like, okay, he was 25 and starting out as a...
I guess if we can suspend disbelief, but I don't know. When I watch the Furious movies, I'm a pretty discerning viewer. Mick, usually I'm watching those Fast and the Furious movies, I'm well aware of the physics of those vehicles, and they are functionally staying within real-world capability.
You know what? I just realized it, too, that you're trolling me over here saying this, and I'm like... I mean, he just swung from one island to another using a rope bridge.
Totally fine. You can
do
that.
In a car. In a car.
Yeah. The science is sound, all right? They've run it through simulations. They're well aware of what functionally can happen when you have a certain amount of mass and velocity and you use, you know, equations and come up with answers. So, right? Science.
And I will ruin it because there is no true twist to these movies.
There is, but it's always at the end at weird times.
They went to space in a Ford Fiero in this movie.
Yeah, you could do that.
Apparently. And in it, Ludacris is giving a speech about physics and, like, as long as we stay in the world in line with physics, we'll be all right.
Right, because that's how it works. It's like when Mark Wahlberg yells at a screen going, yo, I'm doing science over here. We all understand what's happening when Marky Mark is doing science. And that's exactly what Ludacris, I'm sure, did. Was he was what did you say? What was his dissertation on?
It's physics.
His physics about moving and how bitches get out the way.
You mean?
And then get out the way, bitch. They get out the way.
Get out the way.
Yeah.
We're in a rocket car.
Because if you push something, it's going to move and get out the way.
As he's duct taping his rubber glove.
Screaming about Libyans.
I'm you know what? This went into absurd. All right, everybody, this is how it works on this show.
Gotta
just
embrace the absurdity.
Such an amazing friend who just passed away and led into the thing. Of course, it always comes back to Fast and Furious. We're just talking about Star Trek and Lenny in a few seconds, and then we're in Fast. You, not you, but the universe does this to me every time. Every time it comes back to this crap, and I'm so tired of it. Ah, all right. My God. All right. Can we just agree that Fast and Furious universe is the Cheers of the movie world. Hear me out.
Cheers.
Hear me out. Cheers worked on every level. Mm-hmm. For 10 years, this show, it lost its main star, had another very prolific side character die on the show. They replaced both of them with two characters who were very different character basis, and the show didn't miss a beat.
Ratings did not fall.
And it's not just that. They added characters all the time, like Kelsey Grammer got added as Frasier, and that dude went on to play that character for 20 years.
Well, now, was it Frasier's wife who was in first, correct? She was the first character. Oh, she came later.
It was Frasier when when Diane, and right. It's after season two or season, it was season three he came in, Diane went crazy and went to go live in a mental hospital, and Frasier was her doctor, and then they became lovers and got together. So he entered the picture, and he was only supposed to be on the show for like three episodes or something like that.
Okay.
And people loved him, and he stayed.
Wildly popular, yeah, of course. Who was his wife?
Baby Newworth.
Yeah, Baby Newworth. Thank you.
Yeah.
Boy, she was awesome. I loved her. Like, I just, every time she was on screen, I was just absolutely locked in because I thought she was hilarious. And seeing someone be able to be that cold and stern, but funny because they're so cutting, I just thought it was like, oh, this is what dynamic means. Like,
and it was so funny because you, in that show, they met on a show, went on a date, hated each other. She left. She didn't come back for a while. They met again, and then they passionately started going together.
Right,
again.
I remember that when there was the passion of those two together.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
A show like that, and that's why I compare it to what's going on in Fast Furious. Like, you can add people, you can lose people. Like Paul Walker died.
Well, I mean, same thing with MASH. MASH was one of those shows that they pretty much cycled through the entire cast, save Hot Lips, Radar.
No, Klinger. Hot Lips was always on. Klinger was always on. It was the only one they changed.
Those are the ones they kept. Were Hawkeye, Radar, Klinger, and Hot Lips. They changed because BJ, and Trapper, swapped.
Frank changed.
You had Frank actors. And Colonel Potter.
Potter came in late. Well, no, Frank was
after Frank
lieutenant.
Died.
No. Frank was the lieutenant.
Right. Frank was the guy who then changed to Major Winchester.
Yeah.
And then Henry Blake, Colonel Henry Blake was changed to Potter.
Colonel Potter.
Yeah.
MASH worked, but I think MASH had a, for Cheers, it's established. You're in the bar. They needed to add new characters out of necessity. Because they were losing actors.
Yeah.
So there was just all right, we got to revamp and redo whatever we can. Mm-hmm. Whereas MASH, you were losing actors, but you were set. The setting for that could call for new actors.
Yeah, you're in an army base, and essentially, and it's a mobile army support hospital. So yeah, of course you can be coming and going and have any number of characters in and out.
Wait, is that what MASH means?
Yeah.
Mobile army support. What is it?
Pretty sure support hospital, something like that. Hold on. I used to know this. No.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew what MASH meant. I figured it had something to do with...
United States Army, Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. Sorry.
Well, that makes
Mobile
so much
Army
sense.
Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, because they're all surgeons. So that's where it's the forward end. So basically you have your medics who then get someone back to a MASH station where you can get patched up and then hopefully be good enough so that you can be transported wherever you need to go from a MASH station. But it's mobile. Okay. That way, if the front line moves back, your MASH station moves back. As you advance, it moves forward.
That's awesome. It wasn't changing. They never
because remember they even get moved every once in a while where they have to go to the front lines or middle parts of the front lines or that one. There's one episode where Hot Lips and Hawkeye have to go to a forward position, and they're up near the front lines. Trying to get people out or move back, or then all of a sudden one of them get caught. I think Frank and Hawkeye get caught behind enemy lines because there was an offensive and they weren't ready. They were out golfing or something outrageous like that. So there's all kinds of crazy stuff like that happens. So
that's awesome, man.
Really rad, man. MASH is absolutely. And now that I'm older, I really want to do another rewatch. I've done three in my life, and I think another 5 years, I might be ready for another big one. It's a great show.
It is amazing how, when you go back and rewatch all those shows, because remember I did Night Court, while I was recovering and from my surgeries.
From just the pee demons?
The pee demons, which still exist. Shows back then, I watch shows now and it's you have, and this isn't every show ever, but you still have shows that deal with adult content. But
Scrubs.
Yeah, but Scrubs is one of them that was like dealt with adult contact, but I feel like kids could watch and not understand the adult side, but could see the goofy side.
A good number of episodes. I'll agree with you on that. Yeah.
But I feel like so many from our childhood did that well, too. It was like written for us to laugh at, kids to laugh at something different than adults and not understand what
Who's the Boss was filled with that.
Yeah.
Like, Who's the Boss is one of those, my goodness, like watching that again when I was an adult, because it would randomly be on whatever WGN channel at noon or whatever weird hour, maybe really midnight, but don't worry about that, Mom. So, but watching those shows, like there was so much sexual innuendo the whole time, and this was a primetime television show. Like It was pretty ridiculous. Even, you know, Family Ties. A lot of those 80s sitcoms did that.
I'm rewatching a lot of that now, too.
Family Strokes. Holy shit, which is so great.
Wait, which one? Are you mixed two up? You mixed two up. I love
What did I do? Family Ties? Well, Family Ties
is right. You said Family Strokes, so it could either be Family Matters or Different Strokes. Which one is it?
No. Family Matters. Family Matters is Carl. I know that. That's the Winslows. Right. I love that. Absolutely. That's one of the best. Grandma Winslow is amazing. Very underrated character. What was the other one? Family Ties
was with Michael Gross, but then you had Different Strokes that did it too.
Right. And then what was the other one? Because it wasn't Different Strokes. What's the Kirk Cameron one?
Growing Pains.
Gosh. All right. That was the other one. But all of those had so many different layers. And by the way, in Growing Pains, I did not realize that Alan Thicke was such a horn dog. He was always talking about just banging his wife.
Well, I mean, Julianne Kearns, gorgeous, of course. Well,
stunning. I mean, she's no Meredith Baxter Burnham, but that's fine. That's fine. We're not here to compare. I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying.
I mean, listen.
Personally, I'm a Meredith Baxter Burnham guy. It's fine. I
don't know that I disagree. I mean, Elise Keaton is truly a beautiful, lovely woman.
Stunning. And also, her opinionatedness is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I will say this, though, about all those shows. And, like, yes, they always dealt with a lot of issues that worked really well. My biggest problem with, like, Family Matters. I watched Family Matters all the way through, except for when they went to, like, CBS in the last season.
It was all TGIF for me, yeah.
Yeah. So I watched it all the way through. It was a great show. I'm in a rare few, like, where everybody fell in love with Urkel. I was like, you're ruining the show. I was like, it was funny at first. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. It's funny. You got the Urkel dance. You got the little car or whatever. But I was like, you're ruining the show. Because the first season of that show was so good and touched on so many amazing things in the family element and open you up to a lot of things, too. And, you know, like with the police brutality and the gangs and things like that, like things that actual Black Americans are going through that white Americans didn't see.
Even Carl Winslow and the racism he dealt with at work. I think they did all of those things really fucking well. They taught me stuff as some dumb little white kid in northwest corner of Connecticut who doesn't know shit from Shinola to at least keep my eyes open, to be respectful and considerate and learn. That's all it ever did was just, everybody's everybody. We're all fucking people, and I learned that from TGIF more than almost anything in my life when I look at it. It sounds terrible. But, I was raised on television, Cosby family, families, they taught us to keep our eyes open, to learn things, a different world. I love that freaking show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. These are shows that just introduced us to the idea of what these other issues, these real issues, social issues that we would come up and, be facing today. Things that haven't changed that much, things that are still major problems and we need to be mindful of and respectful of. And I love those shows for doing that and for all the crushes I got along the way, because I don't think there was a show on TGIF that there was not at least one female character. I was like, well, I'm in love with her.
There was
Topanga on Boy Meets World. You had Al on Step by Step, who I was all about. Al, the tomboy, was awesome.
For me, like going back to a different world, like Dwayne Wayne and Ron were always the goofballs. Like I was like, that's who I want to be. And then like
Dwayne Wayne.
But then you had Sean and you had Corey, who were the same. Like I always loved the goofball type of friends.
Yeah, they're the best, and I loved Corey being a goofball. Like it was so easy to relate to the goofball character versus Sean, who's supposed to be the cool kid. It's like, oh, I have no idea what that's like. You know, it was really nice to be able to be like, oh, I can correlate with the nerd.
But he was the cool kid, but like he had the problems. And that's appreciated that they gave this kid who, yes, he may be cool, but he had problems. And like, you know,
night dinner episode when you find out that his, you know, he lives in a trailer with his dad and because his mom ran out on him and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, wow. It's pretty brutal, yeah. You know? So,
like, because like the Cosby Show, I, you know, and everything that happened with Bill Cosby, regardless, like that was a show that we loved growing up, and you wanted to be a member of that family because of the love that was in it,
exactly.
And it was just
how many of us wanted to be Malcolm Jamal Warner?
I just wanted to be in the family. I didn't.
That's
care.
All I'm
I
was saying. Like, no, that's just. But
I want to dance down the steps. Be Theo,
you know,
but it wasn't. The thing about it wasn't realistic.
True. Of course not.
Because, and it wasn't realistic in a way that was like, not for everybody. Everybody wasn't feeling that type of family element.
Yeah. It's kind of like if you thought you could ever join the Brady Bunch. I just don't think there's you can't correlate your real life as to ever aligning with something like that. It's way too sitcom.
Yeah.
But of course, you don't know that when you're an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. You're watching it just, you know, like, oh, that's so neat.
You know, that was something like I feel like attributed to like you watch it and then we became adults and like parents and we were like, that's kind of how I want to be. I don't want to be the guy who has problems and stuff. Like, I want
to be Dandy Tanner all day.
Yeah. Like, and that's another one. Full House was one like you watched it and you weren't like, this is real life.
Yeah, yeah.
You were like, no, this is...
You were very well aware that not everything could be handled in a 30-minute, you know, time slot where everything is just a 5-minute conversation at the end of, you know, sitting on the bed and having the talk, and all of a sudden, my eyes are open, and I'll never do that again. Those cigarettes, never again, Dad. Oh, booze, sorry, you're right. Yeah. That was a terrible idea. Like, all of those things that they dealt with, you know, but it was just also very not real. And that's the whole point of it. It was safe. You're never going to get lost in that story and go, oh, if only I could be like that. That's not a real thing to compare yourself to.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure a lot of people will listen to this from our childhood and say, like, you're an idiot. But Carl Winslow
more than likely
was a better father figure than Heath Huxtable.
Well, I agree. 100%. He was working all the time. He tried to do everything to keep his wife happy. He never really got to eat the food he wanted to.
And
various reasons.
Frank Lambert was a better father figure than Danny Tanner from Step by Step.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not really going to fight you on that. I think Danny Tanner did a really good job character-wise. But I think Frank Lambert was awesome because he was a little more – the only difference between them, I think, is one is more blue-collar and one was just dealing with more city stuff.
Well, I mean, but it was also like the attitude. Like Danny Tanner was always pleasant.
Yeah.
Like, dude lost his wife, has his 3 children, his brother-in-law and his best friend move in. And now it's a fun premise for a sitcom, but, like, then you watch Step by Step and you're like, it's these 2 people who love each other have wildly different children coming together and having to figure it out.
One thing we didn't see Danny Tanner do that we definitely saw Frank Lambert do was whine. I loved Patrick Duffy's whining when it'd always be like, but come on, like, you know, if he wanted to hook up with his wife or do whatever, it was always and he'd be like stomping behind, like,
and it's Suzanne Summers and an amazing looking Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
She's
like, I don't know, 146 and it doesn't matter. She's stuck. Yeah,
true. But even then, like, I think she was only like 40, you know, so like
she was
at that time. She
that
looked
was Patrick Duffy straight off of fucking Dynasty era. So just throwing him in like a tight pair of jeans, some work boots and a flannel and just throw him out there. You know, of course he's going to crush it. Yeah. He's like, okay, no problem.
But they, but to me, the most realistic father figure, in a sitcom. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say the most, one of the most realistic, because there are others. Was Carl Winslow, and here's why. Carl Winslow, like, you heard Heathcliff Huxtable yell at his kids and, mm-hmm. and this, and like everybody go after their kids or whatever, or give a lesson or whatever. Mm-hmm. Carl Winslow would do it, but he did it with almost like he was unsure of himself, but at the same time sure of himself. Like, he's talking from experience. He's talking as being a parent who's worried about his kids and what they're going through and what they have to deal with, but also like listening. He was a good listener. Like every other parent always felt like, I am just going to tell you, and I'm right because I'm the star of the show.
This is going to be exactly how it should be, kiddo.
Like he went through his crap with Urkel and stuff like that, but like when he would teach actual lessons to his kids, like he would do it was in such a way that was almost like, I'm just trying to help you make right decisions.
Well, and I think that was a great thing about Carl Winslow, is that he was more exasperated than anything. Whenever mm-hmm. the kids messed up, it was that, oh, come on. Like he, and he showed that, you know, he would get frustrated. He would get bigger and loud. So, you know, that's a really good one. I never thought about it. Very Uncle Phil kind of vibe.
Uncle Phil, another great one. Another great one. Uncle Phil to me, though, was a little more exaggerated. Now, granted, I'm saying this. Even though Carl Winslow had to deal with Urkel. I'm taking the Urkel stuff out. I'm only talking about the parenting.
I mean, there's still Urkel equals Jazzy Jeff. You know what I'm saying? So there's the same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot more Urkel than there was Jazzy. There's a lot more.
And Jazzy was always funny. Even when he was getting tossed out the door 100 times, it was hilarious.
When Uncle Phil losing his temper most of the time, now as a parent, I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. That's very realistic, because like you're just like, how are you doing this?
And Winslow, Carl Winslow comes across with that sometimes. Because yeah. Remember, Rudy was always like awesome. That she was the young girl, the cousin, right?
Yeah, it was Laura. Aunt Jackie's. Laura was the middle child. Eddie was the older son, and then Judy was the young one.
Judy was the young one. Yeah,
who disappeared after a while.
Yeah. But just his frustration with the little kids when they were younger. You know what I'm saying? Like when Laura was younger and still in middle school, when Eddie was first in high school, mm-hmm. Carl's frustration was hilarious because I'm feeling that. Yeah. You know, I get to feel that now and go, oh, I get this connection. And you're right. That is honestly way more realistic than the Danny Tanner, which of course I'd love to be. But just no chance.
We'll say, because we're going on long, we're going to save the list of least realistic father figures on TV, and I will tell you, he's probably going to make my list. I think that would be an interesting George Papadopoulos. That'd be an interesting discussion. But
you know who I would definitely put down is actually shockingly more realistic, and I'm adding this to the more realistic category. Mm-hmm. Bob Eubanks in Mr. Belvedere is a very realistic father.
Yeah, I just wanted to do his job and read and watch sports and then like leave me alone.
Mildly involved in the life. Like he's still involved, he's still around. He just doesn't want to have to be burdened with all of the responsibility of being a father.
Yeah, hence we have Belvedere. See ya.
Yeah. It's great.
Go to Mr. Belvedere with your problems.
He goes, all right, well, I need somebody to watch these kids, these whippersnappers, because I'm famous.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
And I do feel like there needs to be an honorable mention of Terry Crews in Everybody Hates Chris. He was a great father figure in that.
You know what? Yeah, I did dig that show. Yeah.
I want to say, first of all, I want to say thank you to you. You saw me get into an emotional place and you spun it real quick and got me somehow stuck in the Fast and Furious universe to sitcom dads. We went from Lenny passing away to Star Trek to Fast and Furious universe to sitcom dads. And I hate you for this absurdity every time.
Welcome along for the ride, my friends. So glad you could join us. Unfortunately, we don't have you guys commenting along today. Yeah. We don't have those, which is a bit of a bummer, but we do want to let you know we'll be back next week. We appreciate y'all. We thank you so much for being part of us and hanging along for the ride. It means a lot.
We do have some great announcements, though.
Yes, we do.
And I made banners.
Oh, banners. Here we go. Are they Bruce's or?
Jesus Christ. You sick fuck. I will say we have a new merch store.
Yes, we do. Check out the merch store. It's really cool. It's at thescenesnobsmerch.com. Repeat, thescenesnobsmerch.com. You should go there and buy stuff.
Or go to thescenesnobs.com. If anything, I always tell people, anything you want that is Scene Snobs related, the legit Scene Snobs, like if it is connected to us, it's on thescenesnobs.com. Just go there. Our social media, everything. I love it. I know, I've been talking my hands with a lot. I'm going back to Jersey tonight, so like I had to get ready.
I can see you like, oh, wait, yo, hey, I'm get ready right. for this Jersey, yo. Hey, what's up, Jersey? Yo, hey, Rock, how you doing? Huh? What's going on? Yo, y'all been down to the scrap heap lately? Let's head on down there and take some Fotties and Mad Dog. Oh, you God. Freaking guys.
We should record a special episode on Wednesday. Just
Welcome
to see
back from Jersey.
Just to see how thick my accent is from having to
the Mick Jerseyometer.
Oh my god.
We went down to the Stone Pony, right? It's like what? It's been 4 hours.
I worked at the Stone Pony. That's the best part. I was listening to Springsteen before because Lenny passed away, so like Springsteen, like that was another connection of ours and stuff like that. And I was listening to some of those songs before. And he was talking in it, and he had mentioned the Stone Pony. And Mary goes, "Oh, the Stone Pony." I was like, "Yeah, I worked there. I was security there during the summers." Like, the Stone Pony is a very fun place.
Very famous too, apparently.
Yes, very famous. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome hole in the wall place for bands to start. Like,
I really want to check it out.
One day we got to go.
One day.
There's some very cool things in Asbury Park to do. All right, so one announcement is we are on some networks now. We've been invited, and very, very sweetly, like people have come to us and said that they like our show and they wanted to be
part. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it's got to be you, man. You really carry the load here, bro.
I do what I can. I love carrying loads the best I can.
Bet you do.
I
slut.
You have to watch the video for that one.
And okay. That's what you can expect from our Patreon.
Yes, sign up for our Patreon. $5 a month.
Sign up for Patreon or buy me. No, it's just the Patreon. Never mind. Sorry.
I should probably mention that we still will be, for all of our Patreon members and people listening, if you do sign up, you will be a part of it on August 30th. We will be announcing the winner. I love it. For the movie quotes drinking game card game. That is this month's prize. So go check that out. I do want to say, the announcements starting this Sunday, the 29th.
Sunday.
The 29th, we will be premiering on Helium Radio Network, and that is at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Ooh. On station number 2 called Untethered Radio.
Oh, and untethered we are.
I know. I wonder why they called us Untethered. So you check out Helium Radio Network on every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, and we will be on there. And we will have links up on our social media, on the website, things like that, our affiliate stuff. But we have another couple of networks that we're going to be
more
on.
Mick, what could they be?
Well, we're also on, and we're excited to announce that we are on Radio Free Hub City.
Oh, what?
The information come on that. We should be starting next week sometime. So once I know exactly our time slot for them, I will let you guys know so you can catch us on there. And that is as a radio station, as our podcast. But there's also a television station. And that they also run Venue TV, and they would like us to be a part of that. So our videos will be up on Venue TV as well. And
hey,
I will let
boy,
you know.
Boy, that tells me they have not watched this because my face should not be in syndication. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I got all my crap out of the closet just sitting there, and I'm just like, we're on TV.
Yeah, but at least you're a stunning-looking guy.
Thank you.
With a fantastic beard and just look at those great dimples and that uncomfortable underbite. It's nice. It's a good look. It really makes you look just creepy enough that you might just bite their cheek. I dig it. They like that. It's dangerous.
I would 100% bite their cheek. I'm a bear. We talked about this earlier. We are very happy to be a part of these great networks. And there is maybe another announcement coming up soon. We're kind of in the works for that as well. And once that happens, I will let you guys know if it does.
Just finalizing.
We are excited. We love it. We appreciate you guys, of course, listening. You are all the Snobs family. And please hit us up. Make sure that you're following us on social media at The Scene Snob, or you can find the scene. Just go to thescenesnobs.com. We have everything right there.
Yeah, everything's there. Just check it out. We're very excited for you to continue joining us and being part of our family. For everyone who was able to come in tonight, we appreciate it. Once again, I don't know who's here, but I really feel like guessing at who watched. I'm hoping it's Paul's out there. I'm hoping I got some Jason out there. I hope I got a little Corinne and Shaba. You know, let's see who else we got going here.
George. Ooh,
there's
George.
The George G.
Yeah,
George G3,
Chris Sales, of course, our main
Chris
man,
Sales,
Chris Sales,
beautiful man, Chris.
We love you.
Let's see, we got maybe Mike.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know? We'll see. We'll see who else. Maybe some Tim, Kathleen.
Oh, Tim,
and John.
How you doing, buddy? Whoa, Jason, baby. Jason's gonna be there. Jason is our longtime loyal snob. I will say this.
to anyone we didn't name. It don't mean we don't love you. We just can't see you.
We will go back and read the comments after the show, though.
No, we won't. He will. That's not a wee thing. This is.
I will go back and read them, and then I will let Casey know if he was mentioned, and then we'll talk.
Because that's all I really fucking care about.
You better mention his name.
Goddamn right.
But you can follow at The Scene Snob right here. And that has updates on The Scene Snob. So it's like the Madman's on there too and stuff. So like, just come check us out. We love you guys for being a part of this. Len, I miss you, brother.
And, each other.
I'm just going to end it right there. It's perfect.